SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A stormy morning here in upstate New York, and on a wider note, throughout racing, not just here in North America, but certainly in Latin America, a sad morning. Last night, Renee Douglas with the news that riding legend, absolute dervish, a terror, I called him a swashbuckler this morning. Manny Ikeza, yesterday at the age of 80, passed away. And details still emerging. Marty McGee working on the expanded obituary for the Daily Racing Form. And we'll have a few in fairly short timing. We'll certainly reach and over the next couple of days get a chance for many of his contemporaries and admirers. He was a rider that didn't have great longevity because of injuries, career cut short. At a young age, really, late 30s, and it came back for a year or so in the early 80s. But Ikeza was part of the early invasion, migration of Latin riders that really took American racing by storm. And from the Panama fountainhead, really the leader. And I expect to talk to George Velasquez this morning. Georgie, it's got to be very hard for Jacinto Vasquez and Braulio Baeza, and Georgie and Lafitte, all of the Panamanian riders, and of course Rene Douglas himself, Alex Solis, another that came later. But the Hall of Famer who got on basically so many of the greatest horses of the 60s in particular. And he was as fierce a competitor, from everything you see, you read. I mean, obviously, with the lion's share of his career over by 1970 or 71, you didn't get to see him live, but it's easy enough to watch some of the most famous moments, and in 1962, and in particular Rydan, Ikeza just managed even in defeat, and quite what's amazing about Manny Ikeza, when you look at some of the famous races, and he won 2,500 races in a very short period of time. You can only imagine, had he stayed healthy and been able to ride into his 40s, he would have won another couple thousand. But the Rydan races in 1962 are the ones that I'm sure in obits and in conversation the next several days, and certainly when the Hall of Fame ceremonies take place at Saratoga in just a few weeks. He'll be missed, and he'll be remembered and honored undoubtedly. And, you know, just recently, in fact, Tony Black and I talking this morning, and Tony had just seen him. Everybody had just seen him weeks ago at Canterbury for Barry Pearl's wonderful Jockeys in Jeans. And, you know, signing ceremonies, certainly at Saratoga, a regular for the, you know, the jockey functions and fundraisings and signing sessions. Tony said he looked tremendous, and we don't know the details, but Tony said he looked great, 80 years old, and taken clearly suddenly. You know, Rydan, and I'll put up the picture, the very famous Joe DiPaolo picture from the Baltimore Sun, the Greek money, Rydan, fighting finish. I mean, you know, the most famous fighting finish, of course, goes back to Broker's Tip and the Derby. But the fighting finish with Johnny Rotz, Greek money, and Yakaiza on Rydan, that one's a classic. And Joe DiPaolo won, the tremendous photographer, and DiPaolo won, I think at the time, whatever the Eclipse equivalent might have been. And it's an amazing photograph, very much like the Savage that Bob Coghlanese caught. But the Rydan Jaipur Traverse, that's going to be another opportunity for everybody to appreciate Manny Yakaiza's just remarkable career. He was I found an article. I found a piece by Bill, I think by Bill Leggett in Sports Illustrated. I think that's where I saw it. That Yakaiza had been suspended for what equaled a year, over a year, 370 something days, over the period from the time he came to the United States to ride in the 50s and the time he retired. So he lost, you know, and obviously injuries also piled up, and it's a little bit more difficult to compile his stats. They're not, you know, they predate, you know, the accumulation that, for instance, Equibase has available, but at a glance. But the injuries began to pile up on Manny Yakaiza, and he retired. He was predeceased, I should mention, too. I'm sure this will come out. He married a Miss USA, Linda Bement, who together they had two children, and our sympathies out to both Manuel and Linda, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And they were divorced a long time ago, but as it happens, she passed away earlier this year. So Manuel and Linda have, you know, they lose their parents here really within months, and thinking about them. And I, you know, even under these circumstances, when we have the opportunity to talk to, you know, the legends, George Velasquez and so forth, it'll be really pages from the game's, you know, storied past. And you look at the horses and the associations the Yakaiza enjoyed. And, you know, most notably, it's interesting because when you get a chance to go back, and we kind of discussed this even as recently as last week with Haskin, and with Joe, with Sid Fernando, the opportunity to look at somebody's career like a Manny Ikaiza will then open the door to some other horses and other names that, for whatever reason, don't have the same long shadows today that they should. And one of those is a Hall of Fame trainer that Ikaiza rode for very successfully, and that was Jim Maloney. Trained for a lot of great outfits, but most notably in association with Ikaiza in the irons for William Hagan Perry. Gamely, Lamb Chop, and more. He also, speaking of George Velasquez, George surprised me years ago. When Georgie and I don't know what motivated the conversation, but I think we might have been talking turf racing in general and the advent and the growth of turf racing in America. And George surprised me a little bit when he said that Hawaii was not just the best turf horse that he rode, but one of the best horses he rode, period, on any surface. And Ikaiza had turns on Hawaii. Won the Stars and Stripes, it was, of course, just last week in Chicago, and won the Bernard Baruch on Hawaii. He rode him, I don't know, half a dozen times, I think I saw. But Dr. Fager and Damascus. And it just, on and on. He won every major race you could think of during the era. And would I'm sure Tony Black and Tony, of course, came along as Ikaiza was finishing, but anybody we talk to, they're gonna that did ride against him, will tell you that you could find yourself on the ground pretty easily when you crossed Manny Ikaiza. And the litany, I saw where Julie Crone even had written that Ikaiza was one of her idols, that when she was watching racing and when she was a young girl and dreaming about riding in the afternoons, and his ability on the horse caught her eye, and one of her heroes, and of course all the obviously the Panamanians, as mentioned, they idolized Manny Ikaiza, and back in Panama, just a legend, 80 years old, and we'll listen to a race or two. Certainly, it's hard not to reach for the 62 Travers, where they just they go at it nonstop, or that Preakness with Greek Money and Rydan. And that one, I can't remember if I've heard the audio per se. I've seen the video, and in fact, these trips to Baltimore in particular have given us the opportunity. And I'm going to look. I know I've got a picture of Greek Money from that 62 Preakness in the Winner's Circle, from those pictures I get to send you out when we're at Pimlico. So, Manny Ikaiza. Head to the break, Kay, so we don't fall too far afield. It is, of course, the day before the Del Mar season kicks off. Ereb Del Mar. that joke's an evergreen. I put up a picture last night from the wonderful Peb mural at Del Mar that goes from the 30s through today, which is just wonderful. I put up the panel that shows Bing Crosby in the upper left hand, and then things spill out. Got a great, everybody loves those historic agglomerations of, you know, at Churchill and all over the place. They, wherever they are, they're great. Kind of sets the mood for Old Del Mar, and we'll bring out, I'm sure you'll hear the jingle today for the first time, first of many, between now and Labor Day at Old Del Mar. Very good car tomorrow. I got a tweet, in fact, last night asking about thoughts on the Oceanside. And the Oceanside's tough enough, but then I got to that starter allowance ninth. That's no picnic. And even the maiden nightcap going a mile and a 16th on the grass for the three and ups. That's brutal. There is the $1.1 million Gorin. Jerry Hollendorfer may be poised for a very nice meet and a very nice opening day. He's got that horse I mentioned yesterday, Brill, also a pricey purchase by Larry Best. OXO, OXO Equine. And that's the seventh, the filly. She was $1 million, the Medaglia d'Oro out of the Malibu Moon, bred by Southern Equine. So $2 million Hollendorfer OXO runners on opening day at Del Mar. Jay Privman, top of hour two. Jay, yesterday, very busy for Jay, and he got out the two-year-old preview that he is so valuable and so helpful in getting a handle on the babies to anticipate at Del Mar and the barns that are getting ready to run their juvies. So we'll get that take from Jay, and he also got the latest update from Bob Baffert as to Justify's very iffy status. Being walked, officially Travers is out, as is anything at Del Mar. So as Jay kind of hinted, the clock is ticking as to whether a Breeders' Cup Classic try is in the offing. Could there be a prep? Would they go without a prep? They're going to check back in a few weeks. Jay will tell you that personally. Top of the hour. Lots to do. Quick break. Back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here we go down a long dark road, same place where we used to go, and the words get stuck on the tip of my tongue, feeling cut off from everyone. Oh.
Back at the races, 20 minutes into the Tuesday edition. They'll not only get ready at Del Mar to run tomorrow, but they'll pull the pills for the first card at Saratoga. The Friday action, I mentioned this morning, stormy to get going, and we finally got it. It's been threatening. We finally got a real good soaking. And actually, I know that Saratoga has gotten a few even in advance of this, and I can't say for sure how much rain they got in Saratoga, but I can tell you here, 13 miles away, we got absolutely soaked. Nice soaking rain, which is great, and there may be a little bit more tomorrow before things clear up nicely for Friday, Saturday, and then we'll see. Sunday looks okay, too. Maybe some storms coming in from Monday, Tuesday of next week. But it looks like opening day and opening Saturday shaping up very nicely, as are the anticipated fields and some of the stakes in particular. I think we're getting excited for Sunday as well, because the Midnight Bisou and Monomoy Girl headline for the Oaks, Coaching Club American Oaks. Great way to start the weekend. And for those that haven't looked at the schedule yet, it retains a lot of its classic look, but the Lake George and the Schuylerville on Friday, the Diana, Chad Brown with an assault on the entry box again this year in the Diana. Looks like he'll run as many as four. The Sanford, as we get the two-year-old boys, counterbalance to the Schuylerville. And then the Coaching Club on Sunday. We've also got the Caress, the Filly and Mare Turf Sprint on Monday. So there's your opening salvos, in some ways the prequel to the meet when they grafted on these 4 days to the 36-day schedule that had lived for a good long time. I don't even remember anymore. Dick Powell's going to be with us later, actually, and Dick is probably a good sundial for those kinds of dates when we expanded from 24 to 35 days, and then from 35 to 40 days, or 36 days, I should say, and then the 40. So, yeah, it was 24 weeks, 6 days a week, and then there was a 5-week period, and then the six-week period. And that's the one I think most of us kind of, you know, but I'm 58. So in that realm, that's the lion's share of the period that we remember the most. You know, I mentioned Justify, Jay Pribman later. Andy Serling, too. And Andy will get out in front for us. So we'll have really the classic previewing for both the seasons. And actually, the rare Pribman Serling double. They don't very very rare that we get Andy and Jay on the same day, let alone back to back. But I mentioned Justify with Jay, and he'll expand on the details. But I will mention Dave Grenig's piece yesterday. The abacus has cooled off from tallying the Belmont meet, and the numbers were really strong. And the Triple Crown try, I mean, as always, a Triple Crown try will give you the business a nice boost. But it was a good. It had been a good meet even before the Triple Crown try. $634 million, 9% increase from previous year. And actually, there was one less card because there was that cancellation. There was the heat cancellation, July 1st, that cost a day of racing. But the numbers were really strong. On track, too, they were up a couple of points. And, I mean, the Belmont day was second-best Belmont day in handle, only to the California Crumb slate. So very strong numbers, and as always, a Triple Crown try will help things along. What we'll do is, in just a couple of minutes, we'll go to the bottom of the hour, and we'll come back with Michael McCarthy. We want to talk about the win by Axelrod in the Indiana Derby. So we'll do that in a little bit. I was going to say, I don't think we'll try to get George in later instead. All right, Case, thanks, though. Case, we were just trying to land a George Velasquez visit. I saw Georgie. I saw him Belmont week just once during the week. Sometimes I'll see him a couple different times. I only saw him one time during the week, and always he's one of my absolute favorites and a legend in his own right, of course. So we'll look to catch up with George later. I mentioned Dick and John White as well today, and Andy, and also we owe Jeremy Plonk a call. So you know what? Let's take the break here, Case. We'll stay right on point, and I don't want to, otherwise we'll fall way behind. We'll come back. Michael McCarthy is going to join us, and he's enjoying just a tremendous year, and it feels like not that he needed a breakthrough. I mean, it was obvious that he was going to be a success and a force, but it's really kind of come together, and all different kinds of horses for McCarthy and the barn, and a nice with a nice variety of clients. So we'll talk about Axelrod's Indiana Derby upset. It wasn't an upset if you followed Marty McGee's direction. Marty tabbing. It's funny because I asked Marty this morning, and I said, "How'd you land on Axelrod?" He said, "You know what? I don't even remember now what it was, because you know they got a pick several days in advance, so it was literally probably Wednesday of last week or Tuesday that he after the draw that he had to turn in a selection." He said he just kind of grabbed him. He said they thought he was thought there was going to be an opportunity for a price. He didn't believe in King Zachary as a short price favorite. So, well, you know, when you're handicapping like the DRF capping staff, I mean, when they're doing as many races sometimes as they, you know, as they do, you can forget. We'll take a break and come back with Michael McCarthy, talk about Axelrod and his summer, too. He's got horses right away. He's got a couple of handicapped last night as part of that Del Mar opening day card. McCarthy next.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Internationally and from coast to coast on every circuit, Biomedical Research Labs provides superior equine supplements to more than half of the leading trainers. Isn't it about time you join the family? To learn more about how EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield can fit into your program, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880 and visit brlscience.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At The Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races. A little past the bottom of the hour, and really right from the start, anybody that, you know, followed the game over the last 15, 20 years. When Michael McCarthy went out on his own, everybody that knew him immediately was rooting for him and expected great things. And like any other trainer that starts out, hangs a shingle and has to get started and draw clients, it's a challenge, and the momentum builds, and you see what has been going on with McCarthy this year, and that momentum now up to five graded stake wins this year, adding a fourth horse to that roster, City of Light, of course, Triple Bend, and I was proud to hand Michael the trophy for the Triple Bend. The win at Oaklawn was there for that, too. Paved, of course, in the Honeymoon, and the Lieutenant with the breakthrough. And we'll talk about the Lieutenant as we have, as he's developed, and really it's going to be a while for him. It's going to be a challenge to make him on equal footing with his old, with his younger brother, Justify. But now Axelrod joins the 2018 graded stake winners, and we'll say it came in the first half of the year. Michael McCarthy joins us. Congratulations to you and to Nick and the Slam Dunk team.
Thank you. Thanks for having us on. Yeah, that was quite a nice victory. You know, all these derbies that are going on right now between the Iowa Derby, the Los Alamitos Derby, obviously the Indiana Derby, and the the talent pool gets a little thin this time of year because there are so many of these bigger races at these somewhat smaller racetracks, and you get it at Saratoga or at Del Mar. So we thought we'd go ahead and try to pick one of them off, and we got lucky on Saturday night.
What went into the decision? Talk about your conversation, obviously, you know, with Nick, because you had the opportunity to stay on the coast and run at Los Al, and with his closing style, the long stretch there might have made sense. What was the thought process about going to Indiana?
You know, we had a couple options. We had the Los Alamitos Derby. We had the Oceanside here at Del Mar opening day.
That's true.
And then Indiana. Ultimately, the $500,000 pot, I think, won out at the end of the day. The Los Alamitos Derby was going to be a small field, but, you know, heavy on talent. The horse of Peter Ertens, obviously, the horse of Baffert's and stuff. A few of these other horses that have gotten good here in the spring and summer. You know, it was one of those deals we just decided to go ahead and take a shot. Nick was bullish on going, so we went ahead and honored his wishes, and there you go.
Well, that happens to be an outfit that isn't afraid to bet on a horse, and so the 2680 had to make a lot of people happy, and you got a tremendous ride from Florent Giroux, and nailing Trigger Warning right at the wire. Talk about the trip and how everything unfolded from your vantage point.
You know, when he ran over at Santa Anita and he affirmed he was able to lay a little bit closer, the pace was a little bit softer that day. I thought on paper there'd be a little bit more speed in the Indiana race. I told Florent, you know, he'll only give you as much as you ask of him. Of course, broke well, put himself in a good spot, and I think Florent recognized that they were going a little quicker up front than we would have liked or than we had hoped. So he decided to go ahead, tuck in, get to the fence, save some ground. Get the 3/8 pole. It didn't look like anyone was really going anywhere, and we still had a little bit of run. Took us a while to get it uncorked, but at the wire we got our nose down, so that was certainly pretty gratifying.
Well, gratifying for everybody not named Mike Roan.
Yeah, because yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, that's a tough one. Those are the toughest kind of beats, but we're just lucky we were on the right end of it.
You mentioned the opportunity to have considered the opening day feature tomorrow, and we will talk plenty about Del Mar kicking off, and that possibility certainly, you know, came from Axelrod's tries on the grass down the hill. He did debut on turf, and that didn't go great. He was actually offered up for a potential claim at 50 when he broke his maiden at Del Mar on the main. The balance back and forth, Michael, talk a little bit about, you know, the inclination. I mean, looking at that pedigree, the Warrior's Reward out of the Elusive Quality Mare, what was the thought that, what does he do that made you realize or think that grass was going to be good for him?
I just thought maybe the Elusive Quality on the bottom side meant he might like the grass. He's got a brother named Trelawney who's 10 years old now, maybe even, might even be a tick older, who's running up in the Pacific Northwest, who's been very successful on the grass and made, you know, over $500,000. And some other siblings in the family had some success on the grass. So it was a case of the horse was ready to run. I knew he wanted two turns. I didn't think he was fast enough to sprint. So when the turf race was available to us here at Del Mar, I said, let's go ahead and give it a shot. Obviously, he raced very greenly that day. I can't say I had huge hopes for him, but I knew he was solid and he was certainly useful and obviously only paying $25,000 for him. I said, let's give it a shot. Didn't run great that day, came back out of the race, trained very well. We were able to find a nice cozy spot for a maiden 50 tag, and he showed up that day and made him starter eligible. He went on ahead, won a starter race. You know, the horse has just gotten better and better with every start. His confidence is very high right now.
Well, you bring him back to the dirt, and he ran a very good second to draft pick in the affirmed. Now he's a graded stake placed colt, and then wins this rich spot. And how aggressive do you want to be going forward, Michael?
Boy, I guess the sky's the limit. It's the right time to get good. You've got all kinds of big races this summer. West Virginia Derby might be a little bit quick back for him. You've got a race like the Travers that, you know, you can think about. Obviously, don't know what's happening with Justify, so that opens up a big hole for everybody else. Don't know. He looks like he's come out of this race in good order, so we'll just kind of enjoy the victory for a little while and come up with a game plan in a week or two.
Well, and we'll watch for some hints as to where he might turn up next. Talk about Slam Dunk and bringing Nick on as a client and the connection there and adding to the ever-growing roster of top owners that you're accruing.
Nick and I have been friends for 25 years. He was a successful jocks agent, handled plenty of top riders, Patrick Valenzuela, Garrett Gomez. The list goes on and on. He's always had a passion for the game. He's certainly built himself up a large racehorse portfolio. He's in all facets of the game, broodmares, yearlings, racehorses, that kind of thing. And he was quick to support me when I went ahead and went out on my own. And we've always had a horse or two together. I found this horse for him at the OBS January sale as a yearling. It was $25,000. And he said, let's go ahead and take a shot. So very grateful that the horse stuck with me and that he stuck with me. So any kind of success he gets, I'm obviously very happy for him, whether it's with me or another trainer, but very grateful that the success he's had lately has been with me.
Well, and certainly a team that is out front, and they just, you know, love the game, and really any big weekend, it seems, not limited to California either. We run into Nick, and I promised him, I had a couple of people say, you know, get Nick on the show, and I absolutely will. With Del Mar getting underway, it's a perfect opportunity, actually, Michael, to talk about what else is going on in the barn and what you've got planned for the summer. And you certainly, tomorrow, opening day, you're in that starter allowance ninth race, which is a tough group. Super Duper Cooper, who looks eligible. You got the Bug, Asa Espinoza. And then in the nightcap, Lucky Soul with Victor.
Yeah, I've got the whole Espinoza family working for me tomorrow. Super Duper Cooper was unlucky last time, stumbled at the start, went down to his knees, and ran a very good second. Obviously, we're just hoping for a kind of a clean break and a decent trip here. And if we get that, I think he's certainly good enough to get the job done tomorrow. Lucky Soul was a horse we sort of had high hopes for. We knew he was going to be grass all along. Unfortunately, the problem with him is they probably don't write races long enough for him. You know, he, mile and a 16th may be a bit short for him distance-wise. He is a first-time gelding. He's come back and trained with a little bit of pizzazz. So I would expect for him to be running through the lane tomorrow. Wouldn't surprise me if he won, but I thought we would have passed this hurdle a while ago with him. So it's a little unfortunate.
And he's certainly, you look at Lucky Soul's, look at his record, and he's basically run the same race five times. So it becomes a matter of, you know, figuring out getting him across. And you've had him blinkered, and this will be the first start after the gelding. And what do you look for? Make that decision for everybody, Michael, and the discussion that you had with the Cannon Thoroughbred people about gelding him, and then what you notice after a gelding occurs, and you want to see whatever gelding can do for a horse, whether it's mental, whether it's something that's bothered them physically, which does happen. What are the signs about making the move, and then how do you know that it's going to improve them?
You know, he never had a stallion's pedigree to begin with, and I felt like he wasn't giving us 100% in his races. Obviously, with the addition of the blinkers, that was kind of our thinking all along, that maybe the blinkers would help focus and dial him in a little bit, maybe even make him lay a little bit closer to the pace. But it's sort of been the same old song and dance with him every time we've run him. He's come running through the lane and come through there fast enough to look like he runs well, but never get the job done. The gelding was somewhat out of necessity for him. I just thought he wasn't, after about six races, I didn't think he was moving quite as good as he had when we first brought him in. He just didn't seem like he was very happy. So we gelded him. When we did geld him, like many of these horses do, they kind of regress a little bit. It takes them a little while to get over it. Some horses, they get cut and they flourish immediately. A horse like him kind of went the opposite way on us, just wasn't thriving. So we decided to go ahead and give him the time off. Seems like it's done him some good, and the cannons were quick to go ahead and offer up the time as well. So they said, whatever time he needs, go ahead and give it. So I'm grateful for them for letting us do that. Hopefully, it pays them back at some point here.
Well, I'm looking forward to the morning line on this race, because it's very competitive. And when you look at that race that he ran in his second career start, I mean, that's the one that things could be so different for a horse like this, Michael, right? If he wins that three-horse photo, who knows where he goes from there? But there's obviously some talent latent in here somewhere.
Yeah, that was a heartbreaker that day. In traffic, never really got a clear run the last 3/16 of a mile. To get beat a short head like that was pretty tough. And then things hadn't been all rosy since then, but let's see what happens tomorrow.
Let me ask you about Thursday as well, because you got a little bit of a different maiden, a little older, the three-year-old filly by Mineshaft, Venue. And she looks like she's progressing. Third career start, you're adding the blinkers out of the Chris S. Mayer Jurist, and this looks like a filly that may still be evolving into something, Calbred.
Yeah, she was a little slow to come to hand. We stopped and started on her once and got her back, and I think that Chris S. on the bottom side is definitely kind of shown through with her. Her works on the dirt have been average at best. When I had tried her on the turf and first start was down the hill, she made a decent run through the lane. Then we stretched her out. Same thing, came running, ran well, but I'd say we did not kind of fulfill our expectations. I thought she would have won that day. Joe mentioned to go ahead and maybe try a little bit of blinker to see if that would help her out. We've had him on her multiple times since then, and does seem like it has woke her up a bit. So we're expecting a big performance from her tomorrow.
Well, we'll look forward
or
to
Thursday, excuse me.
Thursday. And we'll look forward to the whole meet. And let's get a feel for how you're going to roll them out as the summer unfolds. Give us a little bit of a McCarthy Barn summer preview.
You know, we got a couple things going on. Hopefully we can get lucky in the Del Mar Oaks here with Pave and kind of work out a little bit better trip than we had in the Belmont Oaks. So that'd be exciting. We knock out a grade one with her here at Del Mar this summer. Axelrod, let's see where he goes. Maybe he shows up in Saratoga. City of Light is training very well right now. Very pleased with him. He'll either go to the Whitney or to the Forgo, something like that. See how he comes around here the next week or two, but I'm very pleased with the way he looks right now. Hmm. You know, we've got a few maidens that are training well. If you come down here, you're going to line up in the starting gate against Bob Baffert, Jerry Hollendorfer, and a few other guys here that have got a lot of two-year-olds. So we'll try to eke out a two-year-old winner or two. And then we've got Stirred for the Sorrento. Broke her maiden impressively first time out. Got pinched at the start, took some dirt up the backside, and was able to kind of mow some horses down late. So hopefully we got a few things going here and a few stakes with my name on it here over the next 8 weeks.
Well, I want to ask you a couple of follow-ups there. You didn't mention the Lieutenant, and we have to laud the work that you've done. Came over to you and Mr. and Mrs. Warren. They were so tickled with the placement behind Diversify in the Suburban, and he is really, it just pays off. It shows you when you're patient and you let a horse mature, and here is the older brother of Justify, and suddenly, you know, graded stake winner, now placed at the highest level, basically, in the handicap division. What's next for Lieutenant?
Yeah, I say we'll probably take a good look at the Pacific Classic here, monitor how he trains over the next few weeks, but it's right here. He owns a win over the racetrack at Del Mar. You know, he has always, I thought, been a pretty nice horse. He's been able to showcase that this year, obviously winning a grade three and then coming back and running super in the Suburban, showing a new dimension, running a mile and a quarter. So hopefully there's a race out there with his name on it. It'd be nice if it was the Pacific Classic, but he's a horse we've always thought highly of and had a couple of setbacks earlier in his career, but he's gotten over the hump, and things are going his way right now.
Well, that's the Lieutenant. Let's talk about the Little General. Where's the wins for Aaron Wellman?
Yeah, hopefully there's plenty of them here. as I said, it'd be nice to win the Sorrento, nice to win the Del Mar Oaks, a couple races like that. At least, obviously, we're excited to be able to compete in races like that. But, you know, winning them takes you to another level. So hopefully we've got a couple of wins for the Black and Baby Blue.
How about, speaking of which, how about Honcho, the recent maiden winner?
Honcho got a little bit of a break after his win going a mile on the grass here. You know, one of the first two-year-old races going a mile on the grass, so that was exciting. We'll point him to the Del Mar Juvenile Turf Stakes here at the end of the meet.
Okay, so that's interesting because he did, you know, he had three starts actually, which, you know, for a two-year-old right now, that's a lot already.
Yeah, he came to hand very early. Very sound horse, did everything right. So we started him off sprinting, and he ran a respectable fourth that day. Came back and tried him again 4 weeks later, and that was a bit of an abysmal performance. Tyler Bays had said this horse can't stand up on the dirt. I think you need to try him on the turf. Santa Anita was gracious enough to card a one-mile maiden special weight on the grass, closing week there. And lo and behold, he finished like a freight train. Rest is history.
Is this? He is an Ontario bred, as it happens. Is there some thoughts down the road? Little Queen's Plate next year?
That'd be great. That would be great. Yeah, that's. Who knows? That'd be great if we could get something like that. You know, obviously right now, our if he were to be good enough to show up to maybe running the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, well, that'd be fantastic. But being an Ontario bred is a feather in his cap, and I'm sure if he maintains his form that he may show up back there at some point.
Well, the West Coast-based Gary Barber. This year, of course, with Wonder Gadot, the winning Mark Cassie, and that's a little, you know, when you buy an Ontario bred yearling, a colt like that, or filly, obviously, it's got to be in the back of everybody's mind. Well, Michael, so many good things happening, and anxious to see about City of Light, and you know, one of the names came up yesterday, actually, discussing the handicap division, and it's just been a pretty magical year so far, and best wishes for a great Del Mar summer. Expect to talk a few times between now and Labor Day.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us on. Looking
Not at all. Michael McCarthy, everybody, and just so easy to root for, and one of the one of the really popular people on any circuit, and of course the long association with Todd Pletcher. You can follow McCarthy, MWM, Michael W. McCarthy, MWM Racing on the Twitter, and good summer seems to be at hand. The lieutenant for the Pac Classic and Sturt, and we'll see. City of Light, that's interesting that he's thinking both, and I guess that's the benefit of having a horse like this, that you can cut back to 7/8, you can go a mile and an eighth. It's nice versatility, kind of a modern, modern precisionist style, turn back or stretch out. And Paved, who's been, really, really nice. She's been dancing the dances, and some performances obviously didn't get into the details about the Belmont Oaks. Everybody pretty much left, a little surprisingly, in the wake of Athena in that Oaks. But she will regroup and head on to, what do you say, Sorrento? Yeah. There you go. Michael McCarthy. Just a couple of minutes at the top of the hour. Jay Bridman, speaking of West Coast, and Del Mar. We're going to get the preview and get Jay's latest update on Justify. Feels like things are kind of slipping away a little bit. And Jay will give you his assessment. He can read the tea leaves and the body language in the conversation with Bob Baffert. And if you read Jay's piece from yesterday, Jay kind of is hinting at, I think the term he said, where this may be going. So we'll get the update from Jay, but we'll look most forward to his thoughts about Del Mar for the summer and the two-year-olds. Back after this, hour two at the races, Jay Privman, Andy Serling over the next hour. Stay with us.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet's summer treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Pre-registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, It's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.